Hallelujah. How many of you would like to get closer to God? Would you? How would you like me to show you tonight that you're already as close as you're going to get? When I finish, you'll say yes. When I finish, every hand will be up. Because you can't get any closer than you already are, and I'm going to show you why. Open your Bibles. Go ahead and find Genesis chapter 1. It's the first chapter in the Bible. I heard a statement today by Mark Sharona, and it keyed on some things that the Holy Ghost and I had already been dealing with, some things that I shared with the men's fellowship last month. And I went in my room, and I began to pray and ask the Holy Ghost what to do with it, and he proceeded to show me. And what the statement was that he believes, and I, after hearing it, I believe it also, that God's original plan for man was to make man as close to the Godhead as he could possibly make it without man breaching the Godhead or becoming the Godhead. Are you following me? And I'm going to show you how he did that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And we all know Genesis chapter 1, right? God said, God said, God said, God said. And then he saw everything that he'd done, and it was beautiful. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. The Amplified says, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In our image. According to our likeness, and let them, man, notice man become plural also. That's important. You need to remember that. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. Whoops, I mean creeping thing, excuse me. It means the same thing. That word dominion in the Amplified means complete authority. Or absolute authority. Amen. So in the very beginning, he created us in his image and likeness. He gave us complete or absolute authority over everything on the earth. Now, how many of you know that we lost that? We lost that through Adam. Amen. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. Notice he made male and female. Amen. That's in the natural. And he blessed them. Amen. And God told them to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. That's another word for dominion or have dominion over. Amen. So in the beginning, God made man in his image and his likeness. He gave him basically the same powers that he had. Only he gave it to man over the earth. God has it over the earth and the heavens. Amen. And then man lost that power through Adam. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. See, I'm gonna take you now into the New Testament. Because that once we lost that dominion, God couldn't come down here, make another man, and give it back to us. Because when we lost that dominion, God lost his power in the earth also. It now belonged to Satan. God had no right to come down and create a new man. So he had to have a way to get that power back to us. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Everybody there? I'm not. Hallelujah. Chapter 8. And let's go down to verse 29. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. I don't know about you, but I know God foreknew me. He knew me before I was even in my mother's womb. The word tells me that. So he predestined me. He foreknew me. He predestined me to be conformed to the image of his son. The reason for that was he knew he was going to have to use his son to get that power back to us. Amen? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. For he foreknew, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God was counting on lots of children. If we're brethren of Jesus, we're God's children. And I'm going to cover that a little better in a minute. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Many are called, few are chosen. How do you get chosen? You have to answer the call. Amen? There are many that are called, but few that pick up the phone and answer. Jesus is on the hotline. He's on the main line. Have you answered it? Amen? I have. Finally. Boy, it took a lot of times too, though. Amen? Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. What does justified mean? Made in right standing with him. Amen? He had to have you in right standing or he couldn't use you. Now, we don't always stay there, but that's our man side, our flesh side. And whom he justified, here's the best part, he also glorified. I'm already glorified because he predestined me, he called me, he justified me, and then he glorified me. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me read you what that says in the Amplified, because I don't want to do all of this in the Amplified because it's too loud and it would probably hurt your ears, but I did most of my study in the Amplified. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son and to share inwardly in his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Amen? Molded into his image and his likeness. See, we lost that image of God that we were created in when the fall of Adam happened. So God has to get us back into that image, and he's going to do it through Jesus. Amen? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It was really neat how the Holy Ghost just took me right through these scriptures this afternoon and laid them out for me. And I hope you get the same revelation from it that I got when he was doing it for me, because it was awesome. If I'd had room in my computer room, I'd have got up and ran. As it was, I fell off the chair. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. For out of much affliction... Oops, I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 4, verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age... Everybody knows who that is, right? That's the evil one. The God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. In other words, the people of this, whose minds of this age, who don't believe, their minds are blinded by the God of this age. Lest the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. See, the God of this age doesn't want you to know that you're created in the image of God. And so unless you're a believer and already know it, he's going to blind you from it. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Christians out there that he's also blinded to the same fact. You don't know who you are in Christ. You don't know how close you are to the Godhead. Because if you did, you'd be living a whole lot differently and you'd be doing the same things Christ did when he walked this earth. And I'm pointing the finger right back at me because I'm one of them. Amen? Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. This isn't going to be a long teaching. It's just going to be power-packed. It's going to be his word. There's not a lot of me in it. It's a lot of him. Because Paul said he didn't come with the wisdom of men. He come with the power and the glory of God. Amen? The power and the wisdom of the word. And that's all I'm going to give you is the word. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The Amplified says, now he is the exact likeness of the unforeseen God and the visible representation of the invisible. Not is he only the image of God, he is the exact image of God. Amen? Hebrews chapter 1. We got to get down to where we're created in the image of Jesus. Because when that happens, then we're created back in the image of God again. Amen? Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in the image of God. I want to have what he planned for me to have before I was. Amen? Because the great I am was, is, and will be. And if I'm in his image, I was, I am, and I'm going to be. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Oh, I got to do this one all in the Amplified. Yeah. You got to hear this one loud. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He is the sole expression of the glory of God. The light being the outraying or the radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. And when he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing, that's mine. When he had accomplished our cleansing of sins and our riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. And I've taught this before. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but the right hand of any king in any kingdom or country where they have a king as a ruler or a dictatorship, to sit at that person's right hand is the seat of power and authority. The man that sits on the right hand of the king or the dictator is always has almost as much power as that dictator or king himself. He's the guy that the king turns to and says, make it happen. Amen? And he walks out the door and he makes it happen by the power of the king. So Jesus sat down at the right hand of power. And where are we seated? At the right hand of the majesty on high. I don't know about you, but I am. Because I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen? Hallelujah. Taking a place and a rank by which he himself, verse 4, became as much superior to angels as the glorious name or title which he has inherited in different form and more excellent than theirs. Did you get that? He became superior to the angels as the glorious name which he was given is and which he inherited is different from and more excellent than theirs. That's a little strong. What it means is he has dominion over the angels. Okay? Hang on to that. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you. I have established you in an official sonship relation with kingly dignity. And again, I will be to him a father and he will be to me a son. Amen. Jesus was made greater than the angels. Because he was what? A son of God? What are you? Are you a son or daughter of God? Hmm. I said, hmm. Just to prove that we're children of God, Acts chapter 17. So you don't want to take my word for it. Papa Hagen said you got to have at least two witnesses in the word. Amen? One's a coincidence. You got to have two. Acts chapter 17, at least two. Most of the time you'll find many more than two. I don't know about you, but I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter if I've been adopted or not. I'm a child of God. How many of you know adopted children have the same rights as those that were born into the family once they're adopted? Amen? Doesn't matter if you're grafted in. You have the same roots once you're grafted in. Acts chapter 17 and verse 29. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art. A man's dream. And I pulled a scripture out there that where Paul was talking about the unknown God to some people that were non-believers. But it says that we are offspring of God. Romans chapter 8. Go back. I should have told you to keep your finger there. That's right. You can find it. It's easy. Verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, or at least with my spirit, that we are children of God. And if we are children, this one goes a little further, guys. If we're children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs to me means whatever's his is mine. At least 50-50 right down the middle, you know. If I'm a joint heir, whatever he has is mine. We're sharing it. So if I'm a joint heir with Christ, everything Christ has, I have. Amen? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. Now see, there's a little bit of a stipulation there. You got to suffer with him. That we may also be glorified together. To suffer with him means to suffer the same kind of persecution that he suffered when he walked this earth. Every time you walk down the street and tell somebody you're a Christian or try to witness to somebody, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be persecuted. For Pete's sakes, there was a 16-year-old boy just got kicked out of school because he said Jesus. Said the word Jesus in a high school auditorium gathering down in Texas. And they kicked him out of school for I don't know how many days. And then the judge came back and said, at this graduation ceremony, it will not be mentioned, or we will have a federal marshal here listening, and they will take you away. That's going on right now today. Amen? So you're going to suffer persecution for his sake. Amen? And that's what he's talking about. And then one more, Galatians chapter 3. I'm just establishing that we're children of God. Because if we're children of God, then we're created in his image. Because Christ was created in God's image. Amen? Yep. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Another verse that says we're sons and heirs. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. Remember that word seed. And heirs according to the promise. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. See, we're children of God, and we're in that position until the appointed time that God or the Father has determined for us. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. That's us. We were sitting there as children under the law, waiting to be redeemed. And when the Father decided the time was right, he sent forth his Son. Notice, he sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us, who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. But notice how God got his Son into the earth to redeem us. Born of a woman who was born under the law. God took all of the Godhead, everything from heaven, and he rolled it up into one little seed, one little microscopic seed. And he entrusted that seed into the womb of a woman, a man, mankind, born under the law, to bring him into the world. Amen? So that he would be like us. So he could be our example. In Isaiah chapter 55:11, God makes a statement. He said, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. I propose to you that that word, word, also means seed. Mark chapter 4 likens the word of God as to seed sown. Does it not? Amen? I know Pastor knows it does because he teaches there a lot. And I like that. So let me read it this way. So shall my seed be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or unfruitful or without accomplishing something, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God sent his word wrapped up as a seed, implanted in a woman, and he said it will accomplish what I sent it to do. What was that? The redemption of man. To see that we got recreated in his image because we weren't anymore. John chapter 1 says, I could quote it, but I want to read it. Verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Who's the He? Somebody tell me who the He is. The Word. Who's the Word? Thank you. He was in the beginning with the Word. He was in the beginning with God. And all things that were made through him. Without him, nothing was made. Jump down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That's where God took him and rolled up all of the Godhead, all of the things of heaven, and put it in a little tiny seed, that word seed, and he put it in the woman. Amen? And God became flesh. Jesus became flesh through the womb of a woman. Amen? Galatians chapter 4. Verse 4. Here we go again. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Amen. Sent that seed through that woman so that he could get him into the earth. After he got him into the earth, now he's got something he can use. Amen. Now we can be changed by him. We're changed by the Spirit of God. We're changed by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that Jesus enabled us to receive by coming. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And the last verse, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, see, before we couldn't see, we were blinded. Now we have an unveiled face, so we can see. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image. What's that same image he's talking about there? Into the glory of the Lord. Into the image of God. Amen. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, the Spirit of the Lord is changing us. And how did we get the Spirit of the Lord in us? Through Jesus. Amen. Let me read that in the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the Amplified says, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. There's a couple of stipulations there. You've got to be in the Word constantly. Amen. What's the Word? It's Jesus. Communion with Jesus on a constant basis is going to transform you into the glory of the Lord, into the very image and likeness of him. Amen. No, he's not a woman. He's not a man either. He's a spirit. Amen. Oh, I had somebody try to tell me that he was a woman. That's why I said it at work. Of course, she was a woman. She didn't convince me, believe me. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5. Therefore put to death your members, which are here on earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because all of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Well, I'm not a son of disobedience, at least not anymore. And you won't be if you put those things away. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Notice it says once walked. If you're a son of God, you're not supposed to be walking in them anymore. Amen? Yep. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. I can go on with a list that's not even there, you know, that strife, contention, you know, arguing, any of those things. Put them off. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Have you? Have you put off the old man with his deeds? It's tough sometimes. I'll stand here and tell you that it's tough sometimes. I'm still living in this flesh body. Amen? And have put on the new man. Have put on the new man. I've put on the new man. Have you? I've put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. See, we're being renewed in the knowledge of him through Christ and being made into the image of God through Christ. Amen? And then the last set of verses I'm going to share is, and then I'll be done, unless the Holy Ghost has something else. Colossians chapter 2. This is where you're going to get out of your seats and either dance, run, or shout or something, I guarantee you, if you got it. Remember I said I was going to show you how you couldn't get any closer to God than you already are if you're a child of God. And I told you at the beginning that God's plan for man was to make him as close to the Godhead as he could make him without man breaching or becoming the Godhead. Remember what happened to Satan when he tried, when he was Lucifer. He tried to breach the Godhead. He tried to become God. And he had a big fall. Amen? Well, God didn't want us to become God. He wanted us to be everything God was. You follow that? Didn't want us to be God. He wanted us to become everything God was here on earth. So that we could do here what he can no longer do, because the earth isn't his anymore. It's ours. It's ours if we claim it. Amen? We have to claim it. Okay. Colossians chapter 2. I had to switch Bibles. Got to have the Amplified. Got to have the Amplified. If you haven't got an Amplified, close your Bible and listen, because you don't want to be confused. Amen? Oops. Or spit it upside. Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6, and I'm going to read from the Amplified. As you therefore have received Christ, and the Amplified even gets explicit so that you know who Christ is, even Jesus the Lord. So walk or regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. In other words, you know these nice little bracelets you see a lot of the teens have that says WWJD on them? How many of you know what that means? That's a reminder to ask yourself before you say, do, or act, what would Jesus do in this situation? And if what you were going to do, what you were going to say, is not the same as what Jesus would have done, guess what? You better not do it. Because if you do, you're not in conformity with him. Amen? I know, we all slip. Verse 7, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him. If you've been grafted to a tree, that tree is already rooted. Amen? And we're adopted children. I don't think any of us are original Israelites or Jews in here. Close, a couple of them. So we've been grafted onto an already rooted and founded tree. But you need to keep those roots solidly planted. Amen. Firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and an overflowing in it with all thanksgiving. That boils down to me, what that means is that I need to have daily communion with Him through His Word, through prayer, and any other way that I can commune with Him. Thanksgiving and praise, worship, you know, daily. Not just Sunday morning, not just Wednesday night, daily. Because I can't confirm myself with Him any other way. Hallelujah. Verse 8, see to it that no one, this is important, see to it that no one carries you off as a spoil or makes you yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism. Oh, I got one at work that's got his intellectualism. But you know what? I really confuse him at times because that doesn't get through to me. I just keep telling him there's only one thing. There's only one thing that matters. And he knows what that is now. He doesn't ask anymore. And vain deceit, idle fantasies, and plain nonsense, following human tradition or men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world. I'm going to read that again. Following human tradition or men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world. Amen? Let me be careful. There are so-called churches out there that follow traditions of men. They don't care what the Word says. It's church history. We've always done it this way. We're going to continue to do it this way. Well, guess what? They were just deceived. It says so right here. They were just led astray. Just crude notions following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. If when you follow that church tradition instead of Christ or the Word, you've been led astray. Verse 9. Get your walking shoes on. For in Him, in Jesus, the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? Yep. Remember, He's created in the exact image of God. In Him, the whole fullness of the deity continues to dwell in bodily form. It's talking about when Jesus became a man and walked the earth. Yep. He had all the fullness of the Godhead in Him. Don't tell me that He didn't have the powers to come against what was coming against Him. He had it. He chose to suppress it, to give us an example. The Word of God right here says he had the fullness of the Godhead continually in bodily form and giving complete expression of the divine nature of God. But don't stop. The best is the next verse. Say, and me. It says, and you here, but I'm going to say, and me. I am in Him, made full, and have come to the fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How much closer to being the Godhead can you be than to be full of the Godhead through Christ? How much closer can you get? I don't think you can get any closer unless you're like Lucifer. And guess what? He fell. Amen. I'm going to read that one more time. And you are in Him, made full, and have come to the fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you reach full spiritual stature in Him. And He is the head of all rule and authority over every angelic principality and power. And if He's in me, I'm the head over every angelic and power and principality because of Him. That's being as God without being God. Amen. You can't get any closer to God than you already are if you are a child of God. And if you're born again, you're a child of God. Is there anybody here that's not born again? I know all of you. You're all born again. I know that. At least I believe that. Amen. Only you know for sure in your heart. Amen. Do you see that? God's original plan was to make man as close to the Godhead as he could possibly make us without having us breach the Godhead or become the Godhead. He put the Godhead in us through his Son Christ. Now, what are you going to do about it? Why aren't we walking the same way Jesus walked? Why aren't we seeing the same miracles flowing through us that he saw? Why aren't we doing the same things he's doing? I'll tell you why. Because you don't believe it. Because you don't believe it. Because you don't believe you have the Godhead in you. Well, I just told you. I just proved to you by the scripture you do. It's time to believe it. It's time to get on your faith now. It's time to take your Bible out and your Strong's Concordance and look up every in him you can find. Look up every by him you can find. Look up every through him you can find. Look up every in Christ you can find. Every by Christ you can find. Every through Christ you can find. Every in Jesus you can find. Every by Jesus you can find. And every through Jesus you can find. Now, all of them are not going to apply to what was just taught. Pick out the ones that do. And then start studying them. Start meditating on them. And start saying, I am because it says. Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness because he said, it is written. He didn't defeat him because he was the Godhead or because he was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in human form. He defeated him because of the Word and what was written in it. Amen? You can do the same thing. Here's another interesting thing. Do you know that Satan was defeated in hell by a mortal man? A mortal man could have done the same thing if he was filled with the same Spirit of God that Jesus was filled with when he went to. Because it was the Spirit of the Lord that defeated Satan. Do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Are you full of the Spirit? Do you speak in other tongues? You have the same power, the same resurrection power in you then that raised Jesus from the dead. And he made a show of him openly. I believe that show was made through the corridors of hell. I believe that Jesus paraded him around and showed him to all of his demon and what he had done to him. And I believe that's why when they see the Jesus in us, they run in terror. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus.